Welcome if this is your first time or you've lost count of how many times you've been here. It's great to see you all. I have two announcements. The first is, for those of you who would like to, there's a Christmas card outside for you to sign to everyone. I know some people love giving individual Christmas cards, but others like to take the advantage of a communal card and perhaps give the money that they'd have been spending on cards to charity. So if that's you, there's a card outside. The other thing, slightly more important, thank you to all of you who've returned your surveys. There's one or two who haven't quite got round to it yet, so I'm pleased to announce that we've extended the deadline until Wednesday. So it would be great to have everyone's input, so that as we look forward to the future, we can have a really representative view of what everyone thinks. So that's the announcements. Let's turn to worship God with our first couple of songs. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing Joy to the World. pray to that great God. Oh Lord, we pray that as we come to you this morning, we will have a sense that we are meeting with a God who made us. And not only made us, but made the whole universe. That you're in control of everything. And you promise to be where two or three people meet in your name. And we pray that we'll have a sense of that in our hearts. We pray that you'll help us to block out everything that distracts us. We pray that we'll have a sense that what we hear is the voice of God. Oh Lord, we don't deserve that you speak to us because so often we make our selfish choices. We don't turn our eyes towards you, but we go our own way. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us back, you'll turn us back, and you'll help us to know what it feels like to be forgiven and loved by the God of heaven. Oh Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus. We pray that you'll help us to understand now just a little bit more of how great that is. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Jesus' coming. Our first reading is on page 886 in the Church Bible. And it is quite mind-blowing stuff. For the children, just so you don't get confused, when it's talking about the Word, that's not a word. That's the name that's given to Jesus as being God's communication to us. So when he's talking about the Word, he's talking about Jesus. So let's start reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." What sort of God is it that sends his Son to this earth that we might know him? And at Christmas we have so many opportunities to make him known. And we're going to pray about them now. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus. And we thank you that in our country, Christmas is a big thing. And so it's given us lots of opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank you for what has happened already, for the Christmas fair, for the Ace banquet, for the holly wreath evening. And we thank you that in all of those events, and the meal for the older friends, people have heard about you. And Lord, we thank you that we look forward to the young people's banquets, to the candlelit service, to the family service, where people can hear again about the amazing truth that our God, our great Father, loved this world so much that he sent his only Son. And we pray that as your truth has been spoken, it will go into the hearts of many of the people who have heard and will hear it. And we pray that people will know what it means to come out of darkness and to be in your light. And Lord, we thank you that many of us know you. Many of us belong to you. And we ask that you will help us to appreciate what it means to be in the light, to know Jesus. We pray this Christmas we will be celebrating Jesus and what he has done. Oh Lord, we confess that too often it's all the stuff around that takes up our time. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll open our eyes, that we may see Jesus, that we may celebrate just what you have done, the awesome thing that the God before creation, the God who made everything, became vulnerable and helpless to rescue his people. And you didn't stay a baby, but that you went to the cross to pay the price for sin because you loved your people so much. Oh Lord, we pray that that will be truth that we grasp hold of. And Lord, we pray this Christmas will be a really good Christmas, both for us and for many of the people who've heard about you but don't know you. Amen. So we're going to sing again, and then after that, James has got a talk for the children. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Morning, morning. It's lovely to see you. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, and a few more. Brilliant. Right, so, just around the corner, something's coming up. What's coming up? Can anyone tell me? Christmas is coming up, isn't it? And what do you love about Christmas? What's one of your favourite things about Christmas? Oh, that's lovely. Spending time with your family. I wasn't quite expecting that answer, but that is really lovely. I was expecting a different one, but brilliant. Well done, you. Advent calendars. A lovely idea. Yep. Get chocolate. Num yum. Presents. Gifts. Yes. We get gifts at Christmas, don't we? And it's a really nice thing, isn't it, to get gifts at Christmas? Now, I want to ask you another quick question. Can anyone tell me what one of their favourite gifts was they got at Christmas? Anyone got something they thought, that's the best gift ever? Anyone? No? No? I got one once. Oh, go on then. Oh, you got, yes, Cristiano Ronaldo perfume. Yeah, that was quite nice, wasn't it? Yeah, right. But I'll show you one of my favourite gifts that I've ever had, right? This is honestly true. And you think, what? This. A baseball cap. You know, no, it's boring, isn't it? But this is like my prize, one of my most prized possessions. I love this thing. I won't even wear it in the rain or in the dust when it's sort of drizzly or anything like that. So that was one of my favourite gifts, believe it or not. I love that thing. But in the Bible, can anyone tell me about some people that took some gifts to someone? Who took gifts to someone? Can anyone tell me? The wise men, they took how many gifts? Three. They took three gifts. And who did they take the three gifts to? Jesus. Well, you're on fire today. You're brilliant. Jesus, that's right. Now, can anyone tell me? I've got it in a list, and I really hope you get the list correct. Can anyone tell me the first gift? Can anyone tell me a gift that... Yeah. Gold. Yeah, I should have a slide, hopefully, somewhere. If not, we'll just carry on.
No, we haven't got any slides, James.
I did send them over. Did you not get them? Oh, well, anyway, yeah, all right, we'll carry on with that. Don't panic. The first gift was gold. Hands down, I'll come to you in a minute. Don't panic. The first gift was gold. And gold, as we all know, is what? It's a very, 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 very precious metal. And it's very expensive, okay? And even now, in our time, it is very, 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 very expensive, okay? But back then, it was worth even more. Now, you'd be thinking, why would these wise men be taking gold to a baby? What's that about? Why would he need that? Does anyone know why? He was, that's right. The gold symbolises king. Okay, and if you think about it, if you see the king today, his big crown, it's all made of gold. And the gold was a symbol of king to show that Jesus is the true king. He is the King of Kings. Okay, so that's why the wise men took the gold to Jesus. It was to show, to symbolise that he is the King of Kings. Can anyone tell me the second one? No. Oh, that's third on the list. Anyone know this? Frankincense. Brilliant, right? We'll come back to you for myrrh. Frankincense. Okay, now frankincense was an incense that they burned. And it was very, very, very expensive. And they only used to give these sort of gifts to royalty, to the king. And you think, why were they giving Jesus frankincense? That was to symbolise again that he was God. Because in the Old Testament times, they used to burn frankincense in the temples as a gift, as a blessing to God. Okay, so that again symbolises that Jesus is King and God. Now, what was the third gift? I'm counting on you now. Myrrh. And you think, well, that's a really weird one. Why were they giving myrrh? Does anyone know what myrrh is? No, it's an oil. And again, it's a very, very, very expensive oil. And basically, it was used for embalming bodies in the olden days. And this is a symbol, again, it's foreshadowing and foretelling us of Jesus' death, that he will die for us and take away our sin. Now, it's a bit weird, isn't it, all those presents, but they are all symbols to show that Jesus is God. But there's one gift I know of that I'm going to tell you about now quickly that's better than my baseball cap. It's better than gold, frankincense or myrrh. It's better than your White Fox tracksuit you might want for Christmas, or your Cristiano Ronaldo perfume. There is one gift that is better than all of it. And do you know what that gift is? That's brilliant. I love it, but it's not quite my answer. The best gift is Jesus, because God sent Jesus down as a gift to us. God sent his son down as a gift that if we follow him, believe in him, and turn our life over to him, we can be free of sin. We can be free of shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Remember that from school? We can be free of that. And God sent his son down to us as a gift. And it tells in the Bible, it was on the slide, it's in 2 Corinthians, it tells us to thank God for the inexpressible gift of Jesus. We can never, ever have a gift like that, ever. You can't buy that gift. You can't order it from Amazon. And you definitely won't unwrap it under the tree. But if we look to that gift and turn our life over to that gift, then we have the greatest gift of all. I have, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, and it's the best gift I've ever received, was living my life for Jesus. So if you only take one thing away from this today, take away and thank God so much that he gave us the best gift of all. Thank you very much for listening. Well, one quick thing before you go, for being so good, I have a little gift in here for each of you, so dig in and take one. You can have two because you were super. You were like, you kept me going. There you go. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. One of the privileges we have is that God tells us to present our petitions, our asks to him. And sometimes I wonder whether we do that wholeheartedly or seriously enough. Perhaps we try and struggle on ourselves and try and do things our own way. So in a minute, I'm going to pray again. But just in the minute that we have, if you were asking God for something, what is it that you want him to do for you? So just have a think and pray for yourself what you want God to do. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you're a good Father who loves to give good gifts to your children. Oh Lord, we confess that we don't see everything. We don't know everything, and the things we ask for are sometimes very childish. And you don't give them to us because they're not right. And other times, there are things we'd love to have, and we just don't understand why you're not giving them to us. But we do know you're our good Father. And we do thank you that you tell us to open our mouths wide as we come to you and ask you. So we pray that we will know more of your great love. We ask that as we come to this time of the year, that you will open our eyes to see just how wonderful your love for us is. Oh Lord, we pray that blessing for our friends. We pray that blessing for everyone in our family. Oh Lord, we pray that your light will shine and that we will know joy together in you. Oh Lord, we pray that we will know that closeness with you so that we are able to deal with The things that happen that worry us. The things that disappoint us. That we will know that our Father has got them in control. So as we have this tendency to worry about our health, our jobs, and all the other stresses of life, oh Lord, help us to bring them to you, knowing that you care for us. And knowing that you work everything out, that nothing can stop you doing what you want to do. And that one day you will bring everything to the final glorious conclusion, where your people will be with you forever, where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more wrong, no more injustice. Oh, Father, we pray that you will comfort those who mourn, for the ones they love who know you. Oh, Lord, help them to understand that they're with you and enjoying that now. And we pray that that will be something that we look forward to enjoy you, to know you, to be with you forever. And we pray for your wisdom and as we go through our journey of life. Oh Lord, we ask that as a church, you will bless us. We pray that you'll give us real wisdom to hear your voice, to understand what your great and good will for us is. That you will show us the way that we can share the love of Jesus more effectively. That we can encourage each other in serving you. That our worship and our lives will bring great glory to you. Oh Lord, do save us from our selfish natures where so often everything is all about me. Oh Lord, forgive us for that and help us, we pray. And Lord, we thank you, you speak to us. We pray that you'll help John as he brings your word to us. We pray that it will be powerful and effective in our lives so that we hear your voice. Amen. So the passage John's going to be teaching us from is John's letter, which is on page 1021 in the church Bibles. And he's going to be teaching us from the first four verses of chapter 1. You'll see that John's letter has a very similar theme to the passage that we read earlier. So let's hear what God has to say to us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Well, we'll look forward to John teaching us from that passage. But before that, we're going to sing again. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
two questions to start us off this morning. Is that the first you've come across? The second, maybe not quite in the way it's put. I wonder what your answers would be if you were asked this yourself. Is there life after death? Is there life after death? What a massive question. I wonder what your answer is to that. If you're asked by somebody with a clipboard on the street. Well, most seem to believe there is. Most seem to want there to be. Got a realistic hope of life after death? Big question. Here's the second. Is there life before death? Maybe you haven't heard it put that way before. Strange question. What's that getting at? I'm not talking about just do we live? We're here, we're moving about, we're breathing. But is there life which is deeply satisfying, authentic, real, life to live as we were meant to live? Is there life before death? Do you know anything about it? Is your life really life? So follow on from that, really. If there is life to be known now, how do we get it? And where is its source? There was a message here last Sunday evening. Quite a lot of you would have been here. And it was about living life to the full. And Mark introduced it really helpfully, showing that we all hunt for life. We're looking for real life. We're looking to have what we dream of. And he centered it on John 10 and verse 10. I am come, says Jesus, that they might have life and have it to the full. And we're on some similar territory this morning, but we're in a different passage and we're coming in from a different angle. And before we think about us getting life, we do need to be clearer and think more about where it comes. And our passage will help us as we think about that this morning. So it's going to link in with Mark's talk last week, if you were here. It's going to link in with Christmas. It's going to link in with us, and it's going to be from this passage that we had read from the start of 1 John chapter 1. And it might be, perhaps it would be slightly deeper than some Sunday mornings. That might suit some of you more than others, but John as a writer is a deep writer, and he gets us thinking. So last Sunday evening, it may be that Mark made it nice and simple. And I think there's a danger that I'm going to make it nice and complicated. But that's not the aim this morning. So our passage is in 1 John. As John's first letter. John was one of the disciples of Jesus. And he wrote this probably about 90 AD. It's part of God's word that we have. And it starts off telling us about life. And I'm going to read the first four verses. You've had them read once. But I'm going to read them again to start to get our mind ticking about these wonderful, profound things. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Well, what sort of message is it? It's a message about life. First one, the word of life. The word life comes twice in verse 2. It's even talked about there as eternal life. And Christianity is about life. And Jesus is the answer to both those questions. Is there life after death? Yes, through Jesus. Is there life before death? Yes, through Jesus. Life comes from a person. So much so that it describes him. The life was made manifest and we have seen it, that Jesus is described, almost named as life. So you may say, not at this time of year, you may say in the summer, that there's the ice cream man. And you get nice things from the ice cream man and his van if you go to it. He's the ice cream man because he gives ice cream, but he's not made of ice cream, is he? I suppose you'd get a little bit closer if you said, a gingerbread man. Okay, a gingerbread man, you get gingerbread from a man by eating it, but it's also what the man is made of. That's his nature. And here in talking about Jesus, he's saying that Jesus gives life, but also that it's his name, it's his makeup. He is life. Jesus gives life, and he is life. And we're going to mull on this theme and see how it affects us. And we're going to do it in four stages as we go through these verses. And the first point is life from God. We need life. And we can't generate life. We can't make it ourselves. We need it from elsewhere. You couldn't make yourself alive naturally. You came alive through certain processes, but ultimately from God who has given you natural life. And the same is true spiritually. Life has to be got from outside. You might like to be an inventor, and you might like to say, well, I'm going to invent spiritual life and eternal life. And I'm going to patent it so that it's mine. And I'm going to have some factories that produce it. And I'm going to open a chain of shops to sell life and eternal life. And I'm going to have an online presence to get in the business. But you can't. It's not within your ability. You and I cannot generate this sort of life. This profound set of verses tells us where it comes from. And it comes from God. And it puts it in two grand statements. It starts off in this mind-boggling way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and touched. This life, this person, was from the beginning. And I don't think he's just referring here to Bethlehem. At the start of his gospel, which was read as well, beginning takes us back a long way. It takes us back to creation. It takes us back to before creation. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even before creation, life was in God. Life was bound up in a person. Life was the Son of God. And it says a bit more in verse 2. Talks about that which was with the Father was made manifest to us. So this life, this person, this Son of God who became the baby Jesus Christ was with the Father in eternity. Life was there. Father, Son and Holy Spirit together in close unity before there was even an atom. It goes all the way back there. We're really going back a long way this morning as we think about this life, which is a life which is eternal, which is divine, which is from God, which is God. So it gives us a sense of awe this morning. you know, where you get, maybe you get your Christmas cards coming through, and some of them have a religious scene, and they have a stable and a manger and a baby, and there's some wonderful truths in that, and we'll be touching them in coming weeks. But don't forget the backstory. That is not really where it starts. That life which is shown in Jesus Christ, and which has such an amazing impact on us, is from eternity. The life is God's life, always there. A well, a fountain of bubbling life which comes from God. There's a hymn that goes like this. Jesus, the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God adored, that every tongue should call you Lord. In you most perfectly expressed, the Father's glorious shine, of the full deity possessed, eternally divine. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. Worthy, O Lamb of God, adored, that every tongue should call you Lord. So it's awesome this morning, isn't it? We think of life from God, there from the beginning, before the beginning, Father and Son together. That is where life is sourced and resides. And it's awesome, but it gives us hope that there is a source of life that we need. But of course, if that life is distant from us, if it's remote from us, if it's a long way away, then it doesn't do us much good. If it's just in heaven and we don't access it ourselves, you know, there's precious metals, we've been reminded of precious metals, there are precious metals. There are precious metals, aren't there, involved with phones and technology today. And they're just in certain parts of the world, aren't they? Some are in China, some are in South Africa, and you need these sort of special, expensive metals in order to go into the phones. And it's no good if they're just out there. They need to be where the phones are made. They've got to be brought in. And so this life that is in God, the eternal God, needs to be something that comes to us. And so we move on, secondly, to life on earth. And we're heading in towards a Christmas message now. Now, Cambridge decide on a word of the year each year. I don't know if you know this. It's a word that comes to prominence through the year, that sort of somehow defines the year. So in 2015, it was austerity was the word of the year. 2020 was quarantine, thinking with lockdown. And anyone know what the word of the year is for 2024? Manifest. Excellent. Manifest. That's the word of the year. It's changed its meaning a little bit. It's often linked now with celebrities fulfilling their dreams. So the Glastonbury singer who's got to Glastonbury has sort of manifested her qualities and her dreams. And Simone Biles and the Olympics, she's manifested what she thought of when she was a youngster. But you have manifest in this passage. In fact, that's what sent me to the passage. This is the Cambridge Dons who've sent us to the subject this morning with the word manifest. And we've got it twice. In verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. It showed up, it's made clear, it's public, seen and known. So 9 days ago, much of Crowborough was outside Chapel's Pharmacy. I was a little along the road, so I missed what actually happened. But I've been to it many times, so I think I can probably guess, but you'll have to correct me afterwards if I was wrong. There's usually a pantomime character or two from Tunbridge Wells that have come into Crowborough on the Friday evening at 6 o'clock. They say a few things. There's a bit of a false countdown. And it's restarted again. and then there's a few electric stumbles, and then eventually the lights go on for the town of Crowborough. And the lights are manifest. They were there, but we didn't really notice them because it's dark and they were dark. But then the lights go on and it's clear. You stop. And they're very nice lights, aren't they? If you go through Crowborough of an evening, they're very nice lights and they're clear. They're obvious. They're public. They've been turned on. Well, the life of God, there in eternity, wonderfully in his character, is made clear in the coming of his Son. That life was made manifest. That life was seen and made public. God did not keep that life to himself, but he shared it in sending his Son into the world. That life was made manifest. It's getting close to us, isn't it? It's not just a out there, mind-boggling, profound. It's, but you say, well, John, how not me, John, that John, John, how do you know? How do you know that God's life has come? Are you just a bit wishful in your thinking? Are you in dream world? Do you need to get real, John? Well, how do you know? And John here gives very concrete answers. Verses 1 and 3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. He is an eyewitness. He can give first-hand account with others along with him. Three of the senses there. See them. Seen. We saw him. We saw the miracles he did. We saw him at his death. We saw him alive again. We saw him raised and resurrected. Heard. We heard his teaching. The Gospel of John contains lots of it written down, and so do the other Gospels. We heard his words, life-giving words, profound words, words of wisdom from God. We touched him. John leant, was next to Jesus at the Last Supper, leant on him. Even after he was raised, Jesus said to a doubting Thomas, here are my hands, touch them, put your finger in my wounds, here's my side which has been pierced, you can touch it, touch me. It wasn't a ghost or a hologram. Life has come, and here the older John can say, I have seen him, and I have heard him, and I have touched him, and he is real. God has come into the world. Life has been brought to earth. It's been made manifest. And that's why Christmas is such a celebration. Jesus, who is the bread of life. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Jesus, who gives living water. Jesus, who is the living and true vine, has come. Life on earth, real, seen. Somebody said this week when we were in the first Tuesday lunch, I see these stained glass windows of Jesus and it's always very white, and I wouldn't have expected him to be white if he came into the Middle East. And the person's probably quite right, probably more of a tanned Middle Eastern complexion. But if you were there, you could have seen. You could have heard Jesus' words. They wouldn't have been in English. They would have probably been in Aramaic, which was the local language of the day. But you could have heard him speak. You could have shaken hands with him. He was a real person. And yet he was the embodiment of God, Son, God come to earth, life on earth. This is what we think of at Christmas. But it doesn't end there. It's not just a point of historic fascination that Jesus, of the Son of God, has come. We go further in what John says in these verses, and we have life experienced by us. John makes it plain that there's a message to be told about this. It is the word of life. And it was a message for them, who he writes to, and it's a message for us. He wants to proclaim to them eternal life. So verse 2, the life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. It's a message for you, he's saying. Sort of us. It's a message for us. Something that can become ours and be in our experience. And he uses the word fellowship. In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So what do you think of when you think of the word fellowship? Well, maybe you think of Lord of the Rings and the Fellowship of the Ring. A team of 9 of them, isn't it? Sharing together in this purpose, this mission, destroying the ring to break the power of evil Mordor. So you've got the Fellowship of the Ring. There's this circle of 9 important characters that have got that mission and they're part of it. Or maybe you're aware of sort of professional circles and somebody who's not just a graduate, not just a member, but if they're advanced, they become a fellow of the Institute and they're among the elite. They're part of the sort of senior professional group. They're a fellow. Or maybe, you know, if it's Christian usage where we talk of sharing together and close relationships and sharing God together and a sense of community. It means to be part of something. It's got a business usage in the Bible, a partnership, if you're in business with somebody else. It implies relationship. And with that sense of belonging to something very special. Let's read again verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. You can join in. You can share in this new life, this spiritual life, this eternal life, which was with the Father before the foundation of the world, which has now come in through Jesus Christ being born. You can be part of it. You can enjoy it. It can be yours. It's not just remote in China or South Africa. It's not just left in the glories of heaven. It sort of spilled out to us deliberately by God. How can we receive that? How does it become ours? Well, one of the verses Mark referred to last week and is towards the end of the Gospel of John, which summarizes what it's about. It says this, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By believing in Jesus, trusting in him as the Son of God, realizing your need of him, and going to him begging for forgiveness, for him to make you right with God, is the way in which you connect to this life. So I've been staying in different houses, well, mainly two different houses the last couple of weeks. One with my dad and then we were staying away while the heating was done. I had a phone there was electricity where I was going, I need the phone to keep going. I need the phone to be useful. And it wasn't just enough for me to have my phone. At first, when I went to Violet Cottage, I had my phone and there was electricity in the house, but it didn't help me because I hadn't brought the lead and adapter that I needed. And I needed the lead and adapter to connect the electricity of the house to my phone for it to be mine. And faith in Jesus is like that. Believing in Jesus is like that. It's that which connects us to the life from God. As we put our trust in Him alone as the Son of God, we receive new life, spiritual life, fulfilling life, eternal life. Faith plugs us in, if you like, to the life of Jesus. If you put your trust in Jesus, you become plugged in to that life that comes through Him. And there's more here. We're not then just joined with other Christians. So John said your fellowship is going to be with us. It gets better as we go through these verses. In fact, it becomes even more mind-blowing as we carry on in verse 3. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You share in the life of God. You feel really privileged, probably frightened, but maybe privileged if you were part of the fellowship of the ring. You were one of the nine with this mission. You know, you were around the table. You'd feel probably quite privileged if your academic circles lead you to be a fellow in the Institute. And here what he's saying is that through trusting in Christ, you experience the life that comes from God, and it's as if you're around the table with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're included in the family, something that John picks up on a lot. That life, wonderful quality of life, which is just too good to fully explain, which was between the Father and the Son and the Spirit before eternity, that marvellous quality of life, you enter into it. You're scooped up as part of it. That life which was with God and has been made manifest is now in you. And there's many here this morning who have life from God, fellowship with the Father and Son, a spiritual life, a communion with God, a fulfilling life, and a life which will never be extinguished. It is life before death and life after death, all because of Jesus. And that's what you receive when you put your trust in Jesus. And the way it tails off gives us a final point. Life from God, life on earth, life experienced by us, life enjoyed by us. As well as experiencing it, it's enjoyed. And John ends his little introduction to his letter with verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There's different translations, different manuscripts, some of which have so that your joy may be complete, some of which so that our joy may be complete. Well, I don't think it matters too much either way. I think it includes all of them, those who are writing and those who are being written to. There is a joy that comes by reminding them of the life that comes from God. They share in the joy as they remember the life that comes from God. And as we are remembering around this time of year Jesus coming into the world, we're thinking of the life that comes through Him
which brings joy. Which brings joy. Jesus said elsewhere, John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy in Christ. It makes me think of the two tens of Christmas. What are the two tens of Christmas? Matthew 2:10, the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The other 2:10 of Christmas, Luke 2:10, and the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We sing that it is the season to be jolly. Well, there is some jolliness in the season, but even deeper and better than that, there's some real joy in the season. And part of my aim this morning in bringing these few verses to you is first for you to access that joy, if you've never done before, as you find new life in Christ. And secondly, is to up your joy this morning as you're reminded of the life in God which has been manifest into this world, which you can enter into by faith and which can't help but produce a great sense of joy. So they're the deep verses, aren't they? But they're thrilling verses, I think. It's a thrilling truth. I didn't know what to call it. I have to put a title together sometimes before I fully sort of worked everything out. Life, hear, heard, enjoyed. Well, that's part of it. But there's a lot more. What wonderful and profound verses we've looked at this morning, which lead us into the Christmas period. And we're going to sing about that word in our last song. You're the Word of God the Father. As Tony reminded us, this word is referring to Jesus. You're the Word of God the Father. From before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. Let's sing this song together. Oh Lord, we are in awe of the life that is in you, of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We are amazed that you choose to impart that life to others as they put their trust in Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege of having fellowship with Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and knowing the tremendous, unquenchable joy that comes through having this life through Jesus Christ. So we praise you in his name. Amen.